Session number 16730, Mr. F. Harrison, Reel 5.
Mr. Harrison, Reel 5. What date did you arrive in India, Mr. Harrison?
Well, I think it was about the 14th, maybe the 15th of June. And on landing, we entrained for a third-class hill station called Hamanage. We travelled south, and it was a flat, trailless countryside altogether. So, the training took place there as though we'd been there for years.
Before we get on to your training,
yep.
What were your first impressions of India?
When landing at Bombay, the filth, the smell, and the with a deprivation, it was awful.
Had you expected that? Was it in your mind that that was the kind of thing India, place India was like?
Not as bad, really. I knew it would be different. But, things like beaten, I didn't know what beaten it was when it landed. You think everybody had the teeth out. You know, it was this red stuff all over the pavements and everything else. It wasn't a very nice welcome, like, really. But there was some nice parts of Bombay, mind. Especially the Colaba Causeway. I mean, there was a lovely swimming pool and everything up there. That was the nice part. But you've got to go through those parts. And
Did the people pay any attention to you when you landed? Was there any kind of welcome?
I wouldn't say not a real hurray, that type of thing. No. Really. They just thought, why I think they knew more than we did.
The journey to the station that you went to, the hill station you went to, was it a hill station, by the way?
A third-class hill station, Hamanage.
The journey itself, how did you make it?
By train. And we travelled south. And we're in like the straw bushes. That's what we were billeted in there, like, which was all right. Fairly comfortable.
What did they look like?
Oh, this long buildings. It was all straw. No windows. Just like straw flaps that opened. But it was all right. Oh yes, that was wasn't bad at all.
How many of you to a room?
Oh, it's quite a number. Oh, yes. There were 20 or 30 or more in, you nearly got a platoon in some of them. You know, they were quite big. And
did you have basically the same operations for keeping it clean as you had in England? Same kind of routine?
Oh, you had different brushes. It was more like the bottom, you just keep things, because there was a lot of dust, so there was no trees about, all flat countryside, barren, real barren land. Apparently it had been a camel breeding place at once over, I think, and while we were there, we were encouraged to play as much sport as possible in shorts, and try to get used to the conditions and the climate.
Was it a big camp?
Fairly big, yes. There was a bazaar there and all in Hamanage, which, a bazaar is just the Hindu type of shop. But I never did much in there at all.
Was there a canteen?
We had canteens, oh yes. Oh, we had a canteen, oh yes. Oh, it was It served all needs.
The hygiene of the place, was it good? It was a pretty hygienic camp?
Well, I would say it was. I mean, we're in a different country, and of course we had the helpers, the Indian helpers, and there were like Dobie Wallers, that's the wash your clothes, the laundry people, and that's the Dobie Wallers. And there were several of these Indians employed by maybe some of the sergeants just to look after their own bunks, which they had to pay, by the way. They had to pay for that. And it was quite all right.
Did you get your tea in bed and shaved in bed?
No, I never got that far. I always shaved myself. I never let anybody else shave me. And we did partake in a cup of tea in the morning sometimes, because there was three sergeants. There was Sergeant Morton, which was my big pal in the daylight, and I think it was Sergeant Harland. We were in one bunk, three of us, and we used to be all right.
And this was natives bringing you tea?
Yes.
Wake you up in the morning?
Yeah, you was all right. All the camouflage, you know, the malaria nets and all, you know. It was all that, because we were in among the malaria country, right? We knew that. We had to. And I mean, you had to use common sense as regards keeping yourself wrapped up against these mosquitoes.
Did you have some form of medication to take regularly, anti-malarial?
Well, at that time I think we started on like Mepiclean, and there was another one. I don't know the name for that one, but there was two I think we used to take. And sometimes we'd take a salt tablet to counteract the sweating, which we did a lot of sweating at that particular time, because the climate was totally different.
Was Mepiclean that you had to take, was that an army order that you had to take that?
Why, that was to try to help you keep you fit, really. You know, it helped to keep you fit and keep the malaria at bay, like. But sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
And did all men have to take it?
Well, I was supposed so. I think they would all take it, like. But I never refused anything that was going to stop us being ill, you know. And we were encouraged to do as much running about as possible at that particular time. But if you fell down and you scraped your legs or anything, you could get some nasty ulcers. Well, I avoided all that. I never had anything, but I've seen them, and they were very nasty. So,
what was the climate like itself?
Hot and dry. You know, it was barren. I mean, there was no trees at all. We still did our training and everything else. And as I say, we tried to keep ourselves fit and moving about.
Did you have problems with flies or insects?
Oh, yes. Oh, you always got
You've
flies.
You've mentioned the mosquitoes, of course, but the flies themselves.
Yes, and if you're moving from, say, the cookhouse or something to the dining hall, you've got to be careful, even though there's no trees in it. You've got to be careful. You don't leave your hand off the top of your plate carrying your dinner, else it would have gone. You didn't see them, but, oh.
What were these?
The hawks, some say the hawks. And, I don't know how they did it, but, you ought to be very careful. Nothing in the sky at all of it. Your meat's gone. we got used to all that.
What was the food like?
Oh, it wasn't too bad. I mean, there was always plenty of tea in that going, you know. And we didn't do bad at all there.
Were you getting
what a kind of sergeant's mess and everything?
Were you getting Indian dishes? Or was it typical British army?
No, we still got mostly English, you know. It was considering we didn't tell too bad.
You mentioned there the sergeant's mess. How was that organised?
Well, it's just a separate building by it, you know, and there was first sergeants and warrant officers, and that was your mess. You know, when you flowed in there, and you would have a bar, when anything was available. You had a bar and everything like that, but there wasn't a lot of drink available at all, not at that particular time. Like,
did you have to pay anything into the mess for
getting
the additional?
Well, just a little bit, because there was still there was some of the privates, I mean, were engaged in the mess, and they would appear. So it was all right.
Who ran the mess itself?
Well, the sergeants looked after it themselves. You know, that was.
There was a mess sergeant, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's right. And we had two sergeants, like cook sergeants, in the battalion, and they were always available. You know, any little bits of anything special in the forward line, you know, we were a bit lucky maybe, but it was all right.
The latrines and that area of your life, were they very clean at all? Were they effective?
Yes. They were, I'm saying they were open. They were covered in, but it wasn't as we know a toilet. You used to maybe be a long bar and a big trench, and you had to be filled in and all, apparently, after that.
Who did that task?
Oh, they always had somebody to do that. Anybody misbehaving themselves, as always junkers, as they called it. But
there wasn't a native people coming in to do this kind of work on the camp.
Well, they used to brush around the area of the camp. Anything to pick up, anything like that. You'd always had that. Oh, we never let the place get filthy, anything like that.
What time did your day start?
Maybe about 7 o'clock, half past seven. I've seen us playing football half past seven in the morning. Which they encouraged. It was better than marching, drill parade and everything. We still looked after our weapons and everything like that. And we still did marches in the heat of the day. It all came to very useful in the later stages of our careers.
Was there a part of the day where the heat was such that you didn't in effect go out or do anything strenuous?
Oh yes, you can get sick of anything, you know, what day you can get sick of the sun, and you'll get in the shade and just lie. And I like to read, but there was no books or anything like that. You just maybe a game of cards among yourselves, or just talking among yourselves. Just waiting for the mail coming up and writing a letter or two, and that was about all we had. I used to get a game of mahjong in the mess. Oh, I used to love that game.
The sport that you were playing, was that inter-battalion sport?
Or
were there other battalions around you?
Oh, yes. We always had football matches against the Royal Scots, a good team. We had a good team as the 2nd Battalion. Professionals in it. The Royal Welsh always had a good team, and then the Barks, and then it came down to company football, even to platoon football, and eventually you got sections playing each other in platoons. It was all sport, just to get you acclimatised and keep yourself fit. But
did you meet the Indian Army at this point in time?
No.
And you weren't playing against Indian civilian teams?
Oh, no. We never played anything, any of those. But we maybe saw some of them that they might have been on leave, or, you know, we never communicated at all, not with any of those.
Was there a township that you could go into at night or weekends?
Not really. There was this Amanaga was a, you know, there was a bazaar there and everything. But you could walk through if you wanted, but it wasn't very exciting. I mean, there was nothing there.
How did the British soldier, the ordinary British soldier, treat the natives in the camp and in the surrounding area?
Oh, I thought it. Personally, I thought we treat them very well. I mean, the ones that were working, say, for us, say the sergeants, they were looked after. Oh, yes. I mean, any spare any spare clothing, anything like that. And we always we wouldn't dump it, we would rather give them it, or, you know. But, oh yes, I think they were treated fairly well. And they were paid, and that's all they wanted. They were paid for what they did. The training and everything like that, why, that carried on regardless of what anything else. We were training all the time.
What form was your training taking now?
Well, that was marching and arms drill, road walks and runs and anything to keep you going, keep your mind occupied. You get bored if there's nothing to do. And then, as I say, at night time, there was always football, there was always games going on. Athletics there once over, running and such as that.
You were a sergeant, of course.
I was a lance sergeant this time, yes. I was a lance sergeant.
What are the duties of a lance sergeant as against a sergeant?
Well, it's just a lower rank. I mean, it's a rank between corporal and sergeant. He still went to sergeant's mess.
What were your duties now as a lance sergeant?
I was one of the sections of the mortar platoon. There was three sections, and there was like six carriers, six mortars, and there were six Bren guns, and a sergeant commanded one section, and I was like second in command.
And I think we established these were 3-inch mortars.
Yeah, yes, that was them.
So basically it was the same routine as England with your mortar section.
Yeah, that's right.
You went out to fire them, did you?
Oh yes. I let a few rounds off and everything. And I think it was there where we lost Sergeant Green.
What happened to him?
I think he fell down a well. He found out right. I think that's all. It was later on, of course, but a good goalkeeper. He was a player for the battalion, Toby Green.
And this was an accident.
Yeah.
And he died.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
When that happened, you would obviously bury him, so there would be some kind of ceremony. Is that right?
Oh, yes. I can't tell you much about it. I can't remember that at all. But where it took place, it would take place round about when I'm another.
Were there any other losses due to their climate or health, you recall?
Not there. The next one that really mattered was when we went to just out of Bandra.
How important was it for, you know, the standard of your appearance, keeping up to army standards?
Oh, yes, you always kept yourself clean. That's a soldier's responsibility. That's to himself, to keep himself clean and tidy. You know, I always try to look the part, which there's no shame in being clean and tidy. And your clothes nice and clean, and the bob is better for yourself.
With inspections on a regular basis.
We still had the inspections. Oh yes.
Did the camp have its own garrison church?
Well, it wasn't really a church. It was we used to have the services. You could have the services outside. A church is only it's a gathering of people. I've always said that's all it had.
I was thinking of church parades.
That's right. Well, we always had the church parades, and there was different religions. You know, the Catholics, there's Jews. One or two Jews. Of course, we had the atheists who didn't believe in anything. They didn't want to go on any of them. So, but it was there. I mean, it was.
Did these varying views in religion lead to any problems within the units? Catholics, Protestants, Jews?
No, we never had any problems like that. I mean, some of the Jews, I mean, you never. Pork and Jews and all that. I mean, but they never refused the bacon. So, I mean, they always had the bacon. Oh, yes, it was. We had one in Upper Town, a lad called Pullman. He always had his bacon sandwich or whatever. So it was.
On a morning, then you would get up for Rivali, and then you said you may be playing football early in the morning,
having breakfast,
and then drills and so forth.
Yeah.
Was there any activities in the afternoon, which would be when the heat was at its hottest?
We were always active once we got settled down and climatized. Yes, there was always something going on. And there was no way there was no siestas, not like that. I mean, you'd have your pay as you rest. I mean, you weren't going all the time, you know, between parades. But it wasn't overdone, nowhere.
Did the monetary situation improve for you, being Indian paying rupees?
We were granted the rupee concession. There was a rupee concession which boosted our pay a bit, and then we got the Far Eastern allowance, which was another boost to the pay, which was all right.
How much in English terms might this be?
I'm going back now. Figures I don't, you know, I'm not there.
But it did mean that you had more money to spend.
Oh, you definitely had more money to spend, yes. And as I say, I was a lance sergeant, but I didn't get a sergeant's pay. But I got more than a corporal. But it wasn't long before I was full sergeant, that came after.
Were you still doing guard duties?
I always had the guard duties. And sergeants got their duties, like a battalion orderly sergeant, company orderly sergeant, which were good jobs. Oh, there's nobody turned them jobs down.
In what way were the good jobs?
Well, company orderly sergeants, one of the jobs was to go around inspecting all amenities, toilets and everything else, with somebody else or have somebody with them. Cookhouses. Which was, I wonder what they have, and I wonder what they have. So you would pick the best. Instead, I'll have my breakfast there this morning or my dinner. They have a little bit different companies because they were spread about. And the battalion order sergeant was very good and all. He used to do the same, going on the different companies.
And was this a 24-hour?
Yes, it was a 24-hour duty. Well, you got your turn. It was all right. You were all there, mounting the guard with the guard command officer. And that was all right.
Were you getting letters from home?
Yes. Yes. They weren't too bad.
Were parcels coming?
Well, the only parcels I received was maybe cigarettes or tobacco. Not about that. Maybe start smoking a pipe or something like that, you know. They'll get some tobacco sent over and cigarettes and that. And
how important are letters to a soldier?
Very, very, very important. When they get those letters and they're away, they go, by the cells and they're reading. I mean, the back at home, in the thoughts there. All right. I felt sorry for him, lad. He never got a letter at all. I don't think he ever got a letter all the time he was out there. Don't know why. And never sent it for him. He's a good footballer and all, this lad. Very light. Very light he was, though. But he never sent it for him.
Was there any leave while you were there, any centre of...
Well, not... We didn't have, like, the fortnight and weeks, a couple of days maybe going to Bain and Pona, and, we didn't get a lot of leave at all.
the actual training you were doing in England, of course, it was, I suppose you might describe it as the normal traditional European type training.
Mm. Well, that,
did this change when you got to this place?
Oh, it started to change because they started teaching us a little bit about jungle warfare and everything else. But there was no jungle there, there weren't no trees. But they just taught us that, like, some of the basics.
What are the basics of jungle warfare?
Why, how they move and everything else. I mean, it's not the normal front line where you just move them. Nothing like that, nowhere. Jungle, I mean, you move in a box.
How is that?
You have all-round protection, which you need in the jungle. You move in a box. You have all-round protection. But there was... that'll all come a little bit later on, like, but...
Were they telling you about the Japanese and the soldier and how he fought at this point?
Oh, yes. Oh, we used to get the old stories about... you'll be all right. It's only little fellas. They can't see in the dark. You know, we've got all this, which was, looks as a fallacy, and all a myth, that. And what it turned out to be, but at that particular time, we believed it. We didn't know what we were going to meet or what they were like. But we knew there must be some good, otherwise they wouldn't have got why they did, though. But they must have been well organised.
How long were you in this station?
No, and I think we stopped there. I think it was about September time, I think. And then we moved. We went to just outside of Pona when we started the amphibious training, the Karagvazla, this big lake. And
what kind of training was that?
Well, that's why we what we're going to learn on was these rowing boards, but they had the tiller bars down the centre, and you could only get about 8 in the board. And these tiller bars were going. That's all the board was.
Backward and forward movement.
That's all it was motored. Awful things, and. And we used to remark, we said, well, what we're training on these things for? I mean, you know. And then we were getting out of there and jumping out, and it was all heavy mud and everything around the edge of the lakes and all the state we used to get in. And we was practicing climbing and with the ropes and everything else and bucking the boats. And then that went on and on. But...
What was the terrain like? You've mentioned the lake, but what was the terrain like round about?
Oh, there was more vegetation and everything round there. What there was at Amanaga. We came back to Amanaga from Carrickbosley.
But you did this training, climbing ropes, as you say, etc., with full pack and rifle.
What you would take, your respirator and everything else, and your weapons. Oh, yes.
But could you get a section of mortars into a boat? In your own job, I'm thinking of.
Not really, I don't think so. No, because I don't think we ever did it. Not with mortars. And a full section and ammunition and everything. Would have been a struggle, I think.
So, essentially, you didn't get into this boat situation?
No, we still got in. But I don't think the mortars was in it at all.
What was the training for crossing rivers or?
Why, it was we were going to make a landing somewhere down by Akia, but that was the plan, I think. Then we got little bits of information. You know, we tried to put two and two together, and I said, well, not on there, surely. And as time went by, like, with more training, it started to look real.